Hello, today is Thursday, the 11th of October, and I'm Eric Huffschmid. First, I want to talk about Christopher Bolin. The article he posted on October 10th, 2007, is one of the strangest that he's posted since his disappearance. He claims to have made a crucial discovery about the 9/11 attack, and that if we send him some money, he will email the crucial information to us in return. One reason I find this attitude so strange is that before he disappeared mysteriously, about June 11th, 2007, he was wondering if he should move to Norway and get a regular job. From what I remember of the conversations, he was not expecting anybody in Europe to hire him as a journalist, so he was thinking he should get an ordinary job and do investigative work in his spare time. It has been 4 months since he disappeared, and he has not bothered to get a job, and he has not even let any of us know which continent he lives on. He claims that he has almost no donations coming in. So how has he been surviving these past 4 months? If he has almost no money from donations, why does he continue to beg for money rather than get a job? All of this is more evidence that the family is not safe, and we really don't know that they're alive. However, it may be true that you will receive important information about 9/11 if you send Bolin some money. The reason is that if he has been kidnapped or killed by the Zionist crime gang, they could very easily release a small amount of information about the crime. The people who did 9/11 obviously know all sorts of interesting information about the attack. Therefore, the Zionists could create the impression that Bolin is alive and doing fine by allowing him to release bits of information that have not yet been discovered. The Zionists can also use this trick to increase the credibility of Alex Jones or the Scholars for 9/11 Truth. Remember a few months ago when Jones and the others were boasting that they had discovered a BBC news report that mentioned the collapse of Building 7 about 20 minutes before it actually collapsed? That news report had been forgotten for years. The Zionists may have decided that since it had already been shown on television, they may as well use it to bring attention and credibility to their agents. We have to watch out for these tricks. Keep in mind that the person who could be the greatest investigator of a crime is the criminal himself, or his friend, because the criminals know details that nobody else knows. Another reason I wanted to mention Bolin's latest article is to point out that we should stop letting the Zionists tell us what to do. In Bolin's latest article, he is giving us an offer. He is telling us that if we give him money, he will give us a little information about 9/11. The Zionists are always trying to put us into a defensive, submissive position. We have to take the offense. We should tell them what to do. We have to stop being their victims. The offer should be turned around. We should be telling Bolin that we will give him money and support when we see evidence that he and his family are alive and well. We should be telling him what to do. He should not be telling us. We have to stop being victims. Stop being submissive sheep. We have to take control of our lives, our nation, and our world. We have to stop being intimidated and pushed around by these criminals. For the past 4 months, there has been no evidence that the Bolins are fine. All of the evidence suggests that they have been kidnapped or killed. If the Bolin family has been kidnapped or killed, and if we assume that the family is doing fine, we would be telling the criminals that we are such suckers that we don't care that there's no evidence that the family is alive. We would be telling the Zionists that we are such fools that they can go ahead and kidnap and kill more of us. Instead of falling for this trick, we should be wondering about the disappearance of other people. For example, in 2002, Carol Valentine was posting articles on the internet, and I even sent and received email messages with her. But sometime during 2002, she disappeared. Jim Condit Jr. knows her phone number and has phone conversations with her once in a while, but he will not let anybody know what the phone number is. Why is it that if she's alive, she will only talk to Jim Condit? And why is it that Jim Condit associates with and promotes the American Free Press, the Barnes Review, and other people who appear to be Zionists who are pretending to be patriots and white supremacists? And why is it that Carol Valentine's website promotes all sorts of suspicious sites, such as Jim Condit's site, the Barnes Review, the American Free Press, and some of the other white supremacist groups? Unless Carol Valentine was a Zionist agent all along, the strange change in her behavior during 2002 suggests that she is also dead or kidnapped. During 2002, anybody could contact her, and she even contacted me by email. Today, she doesn't have conversations with anybody except Jim Condit Jr. This strange situation happened with Boleyn also. I had frequent contact with Christopher Boleyn prior to June 2007, but today he talks only to mysterious people such as Linda Shelton in Chicago and Jan Gilberg in Sweden. We have to show these Zionists that we're not going to tolerate these mysterious disappearances and strange changes in behavior. Don't assume Carol Valentine or the Boleyns are alive and well until we see some actual evidence. A brief phone call or a strange radio interview is not evidence. If the Boleyns are truly safe, then they would be able to have conversations with anybody they please, and they would be able to explain how they purchase food, what their children are doing every day, and which continent they live on. The ridiculous secrecy surrounding Carol Valentine, the Boleyns, Peter Khawaja, and others is a sign that they're all dead or kidnapped. We have to let these Zionists realize that we are no longer going to be their suckers. Although the situation for us may seem hopeless, it's possible that there are people within the U.S. military starting to wise up to Zionism. Consider those 6 nuclear missiles that were flown across the country on August 30, 2007. The nuclear bombs in those missiles were old and going to be disassembled. However, the bombs were not taken out of the missiles, and they were not sent by cargo plane or train or truck. Instead, the missiles, with their nuclear bombs, were loaded under the wing of the aircraft, apparently in the firing position. The military claims it was just a mistake, but if you've ever been around nuclear bombs, you know it's not easy to make that type of mistake. Although I've never been near missiles with nuclear bombs, once I had to install some electronic equipment at the Sierra Army Depot in California during the 1980s. That particular facility at that time was a storage center for nuclear bombs. In case you don't know, the U.S. military has been pressured into purchasing more weapons than they want. There are thousands of nuclear bombs in long-term storage because the military has no idea what to do with so many bombs. The security at this base was beyond anything I've ever seen. The armed guards who watch the perimeter have orders to shoot anybody trying to penetrate the layers of fences, without asking any questions. I had to get into the office areas of the secure area. After passing through their security station, I was met by 2 armed guards who followed me around. Every civilian who enters this area had to be followed by 2 armed guards. I was there for only a couple of hours at a time, but when I asked the guards what would happen if I had to go to the bathroom, they said they would follow me in or stand by the door. I can't remember exactly. But my point is that the military has amazing security when dealing with nuclear bombs. That was in the mid-1980s, and it's possible that military security has degraded during the past 20 years to the point at which people today can easily get access to nuclear bombs on missiles. However, I doubt it. It's more likely that those missiles were loaded onto that airplane deliberately. There are lots of possible reasons as to why a group would want to do this. For example, the Zionists might have planned to fire the missiles from the airplane and then blame Iran for a nuclear attack. An even more clever trick would have been for the Zionists to later expose President Bush and Dick Cheney as being behind the nuclear attack. That would make the entire world furious with the Bush administration, and it would allow the Democrats to seize control of America. That would allow such wonderful, patriotic Democrats such as Rahm Emanuel and Barney Frank to control America. None of us will ever figure out what happened with those 6 nuclear bombs, and we're not likely to get honest answers from our government. The reason I bring this issue up is because I think it's a sign that we're having an effect on the Zionists by reducing their level of support. In order for them to do another 9/11 attack, they need a lot of people who are either willing to assist the attack or who are so trusting that they don't investigate or complain about suspicious activity. Even if the people in the military don't understand what's going on, they can prevent another 9/11 attack simply by reporting strange behavior. That might have been what happened with the 6 nuclear bombs. Perhaps the plan to use the bombs was stopped inadvertently by people who realized that something wasn't making sense. Although the situation can seem hopeless right now because the Zionists have nearly total control of America and Europe, I think we're slowly sinking their ship. Remember Michael Chertoff and his gut feelings about a big attack? Alex Jones also predicted a big attack, and so have lots of other mysterious people on the internet. They may be trying to do something, but failing. If we can continue to spread information about Zionism, we can get rid of this crime network. We can identify tens of thousands of people in this network very easily. They are operating in the open, and the internet makes it easy for us to expose these people. For a personal example, in 2004, some of us here in Santa Barbara held a 9/11 event. A student at a local university wanted to be a speaker at our meeting. His name is Bill Kuhn. I suppose he thinks he's clever, but by pushing his way into our meeting and by promoting people such as Webster Tarpley, all he did was identify himself. He's not fooling me. Some of you would also be able to identify people like him in your city. Together, we can identify tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of these people. Our big hurdle is finding enough people and police who care enough to do something about this crime network. If you look at your friends and relatives who refuse to face 9/11, you might find that there are some Zionist Jews influencing them. For example, I have two brothers, and one can deal with 9/11, but my other brother, Bradley, defends the official story and the war in Iraq. It turns out that one of Brad's neighbors, Hal Kopitkin, is such a strong supporter of Israel and the war in Iraq that he was angrily trying to defend the war on his public access television show. This is the same brother who told me that if what I was saying about 9/11 was true, then I would be killed. I suspect that his Zionist neighbor is frightening him with stories that anybody who exposes 9/11 is likely to be killed. My point in bringing this up is that the Zionist Jews are operating in plain sight. They are all over the country, and together we can identify an incredible number of them. They are not getting away with their crimes because we can't figure out who they are or what they're doing. Rather, they are getting away with their crimes because the police don't care, the government officials don't care, and most of the people don't care. Many of the Zionists change their name and get surgery on their noses, but that doesn't completely hide them. Furthermore, this trick doesn't work in India, China, or Japan. Nobody is going to be fooled in China if Mike Wallace changes his name to Hai Ding. Their inability to infiltrate Asian nations is not a trivial issue. I want to emphasize this problem because it would explain the peculiar propaganda that has been coming from such groups as WorldNet Daily and Alex Jones. For years, they have been encouraging us to expect a war between China, Taiwan, and America. For example, in November of 2000, Kenneth Timmerman writes an article for WorldNet Daily that tells us that China is modernizing its military with weapons from America and Russia for an attack on Taiwan. In April 2001, David Limbaugh writes an article with the title, "Is War with China Inevitable?" In his article, he says, "China has proven itself to be a tyrannical regime with malevolent intentions towards Taiwan and the United States." In July 2005, they posted an article that claims a Chinese military official says that China will use nuclear weapons against the United States if Americans get involved in the dispute between Taiwan and China. A few months later, they write an article in which a Chinese dissident claims that China is planning a nuclear war. And the article tells us that the Americans have not paid enough attention to the growing threat of nuclear war with China. In May of 2007, they write an article with the title, "Is China Trying to Poison Americans and Their Pets?" In this article, they imply that the contaminated products that came from China are a deliberate attempt to kill us. All of this propaganda would make sense if the Zionist Jews are trying to manipulate the Chinese government into starting a war with Taiwan, and if they're also encouraging the Americans to get involved with that war. Then we can all destroy one another, just like in the world wars. The Zionists may also be encouraging a war between India and China, between India and Pakistan, and between China and Japan. The Zionist Jews cannot infiltrate the Asian nations, so the only way they're going to get control of Asia is to set up wars and trick all of us into killing one another. I would also consider the possibility that Zionists are involved or responsible for the contaminated products that come from China. Many of the Asians who live here in America seem to be ignoring 9/11 on the grounds that it's not their problem. But it is their problem. The world wars are also their problem, and so is the Holocaust hoax, and so is the Apollo moon landing hoax. All of us live together on one planet. We're just a bunch of large families living together in a large neighborhood. And within this neighborhood is a group of maniacs who are instigating wars and trying to exterminate us. Israel, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, and their associates are everybody's problem. Even the Apollo moon landing is everybody's problem. The Europeans spent a lot of engineering talent and resources to send that Smart One probe to the moon, and Japan's moon probe is currently circling the moon. The Europeans deliberately kept that probe at a very high orbit so that it would not expose the Apollo moon landing hoax, and now the Japanese may also be under pressure to prevent their probe from exposing this hoax. How much longer are we going to put up with this nonsense? Every nation should start dealing with this problem of Zionists who manipulate government officials with blackmail, bribery, and deception. Every nation should take a serious look at the world wars and try to learn from the mistakes made by the Europeans, Russians, and Americans. We should also consider that Japan's involvement with World War II was set up by the Zionists, and that it was the Zionists who pushed for the nuclear bombing of Japan. Finally, it's important to notice that many of the so-called truth seekers, such as Alex Jones, are extremely upset that Ed Brown and his wife Elaine have been arrested. This was the couple in New Hampshire who refused to pay income taxes. The Browns were arrested on Thursday, October 4, 2007. Elaine was sent to a nearby jail in Connecticut, but there was no news about Ed Brown on Friday or during the weekend. So on Monday morning, October 8th, Alex Jones and his guest, Sean Cranish, spent a lot of time discussing the possibility that Ed Brown was being tortured. And Jones went into lots of details about torture methods. Listen to this short excerpt, which starts with Sean Cranish.
"I guarantee you they are torturing him in some way, and I'm sure it's not pleasant at all. They're probably trying to get information out of him."
Well, most Americans are ignorant about the prison system, but torture is standard in federal hands. Waterboarding has been done for years. It's the equivalent with a bag over the head until you start passing out, strangling you, dieseling, driving till your feet bust open, beating, chaining you in different configurations, just good old-fashioned throttlings, and
sure.
And there's no doubt that it's very, very suspicious. Again, I'd say 90% chance, because the fact that he hasn't shown up in Bureau of Prison hands, where you have a lot less torture, because it's lower level people, it's all surveilled, they can get in more trouble, they've got to claim you've done something to have an excuse to go in and beat you. But no doubt that the marshals are scared to death. They're worried about people coming after them, and they're doing the exact wrong thing right now. But, of course, they're know-it-alls. They know everything. By torturing, I mean, in my gut, with this new news, I have no doubt in my gut they're torturing him, but obviously we can't say we're sure.
On Tuesday, Ed Brown appeared in Ohio, so apparently the reason there was no news about him over the weekend is that he was in transit. But compare their incredible concern for Ed Brown and their assumptions that he was being tortured through their total lack of interest with the Boleyn family, who has been missing for 4 months, not just one weekend. Why don't Ed Brown supporters show any concern for the Boleyn family? Why don't they worry that the Boleyn family is being tortured? I would say this is more evidence that Ed Brown is somehow part of this Zionist crime network. Perhaps he is another of their useful idiots, such as David Irving, who also allows himself to be sent to jail, but as a Holocaust denier. We may never know exactly why Ed and Elaine Brown staged that silly fight over taxes, but it benefited the Zionist crime network because while they were getting publicity, they were promoting Alex Jones, Aaron Russo, and other liars, and now their arrest will maintain fear among the citizens that they better pay taxes. By the way, the crimes that the police are most likely to enforce are tax evasion and posting songs and movies on the internet. This is happening in other countries also. Did you read about the man in Australia who used his cell phone to record the Simpsons cartoon movie? He posted the low-quality video on the internet, and when Hollywood found out about it, they sent the Australian police to arrest him. Did you watch Kay Griggs describe the Marine Corps as a hit squad for the Zionists? I posted excerpts at my site, hugequestions.com. Unfortunately, it's not only the Marine Corps that follows Zionist orders. The police are also attack dogs for the Zionists. The police and military need to get their priorities straight. They should be standing up to this crime network, not protecting it. Well, that's my message for today. Remember, even if people don't seem to respond to your attempts to help them understand 9/11 or Zionism, if you can just make them more suspicious of politicians, the media, the FBI, and everybody in this so-called truth movement, you will have accomplished something useful. Until the next time, goodbye.